We are in Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1. In that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. That serpent and that dragon are the same thing. They are called Leviathan. Leviathan. And so that's what we're going to study today. One verse. But not really, because we're going to have to go all over the Bibles. It'll be one verse in Isaiah that we're studying predominantly, and we'll be cross-referencing many references so you can figure out what this is. In this study of Leviathan today, you're going to see the bodily or the physical appearance of the devil. The devil is a spirit. We know that because, you know, he was in, like the fellow that was there in the Gadarenes, that crazy man. And that was a spiritual thing, an unclean spirit, the Bible says. So he's a spirit, but he has a physical presence as well. And you're going to notice from this description of him in Isaiah chapter 27 and verse 1 that he is both a serpent and a dragon. Now, in order to be able to study this thoroughly, we have to go throughout the Bible. So let's turn to the last book of the Bible. We'll go to the book of Revelation. And we're going to see Leviathan. Now, in the book of Revelation, he's not called Leviathan, but he's described so that you know what he is and who he is. And he's described in more detail than Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1 describes him. In Revelation chapter 12, first of all, we see a wonder in heaven. Verses 1 and 2, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child, travailed in birth and pain to be delivered. All right, that, we've studied this before, that is Israel. Okay, that's not Our Lady of Guadalupe. Our Lady of Guadalupe is something else, but made to look like this. This is Israel. Now look in verse 3. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. That's important to notice, 7 crowns upon his heads, because in another place this dragon shows up with 10 crowns, but those 10 crowns are on his 10 horns. So, different. Now, here you see that he's some other descriptions of him. He's great, so he's going to be very large. He's red, and as you see, he's a dragon. He has 7 heads. So that's an unusual monster. He's a 7-headed monster, and on those heads there are 10 horns, so there's going to be more than one horn on some of those heads. Now, I'm not sure if our time will allow us to run all of this, so I'll tell you where these are. But if you go to Daniel chapter 7, and if you go to Revelation chapter 17, you're going to find out that those 10 horns on his heads are 10 kings. All right? And those kings are going to reign during the tribulation, which hasn't happened yet. And since he has 7 crowns on his heads, those 7 heads and those 7 crowns represent 7 world rulers who have ruled or who will rule over Israel. As a matter of fact, I call them world rulers because they rule over the world. Those 6 of them so far have been Egypt. You know that Israel was in bondage down in Egypt under Pharaoh. Assyria, and there were a variety of kings in the Assyrian kingdom that took the 10 northern tribes of Israel. Sennacherib was one of the famous ones. Babylon, which was ruled by Nebuchadnezzar, they came in and took the 2 southern tribes of Israel, the tribes of Judah, they're called. Persia, which was actually a combined kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, ruled by several, but 2 that are well known from the Bible, Darius and Cyrus. And then Greece, and who ruled over that kingdom for so long? Greece. Alexander the Great, and then it was divided into 4 kingdoms. And then Rome, who was in control when Jesus Christ was here, ruled by the Herods, and the governor Pilate, who was a Roman, is the one that sentenced Jesus Christ to death. So that's six. And then you have the seventh one, which comes up during the tribulation, which is called in Revelation 17, Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon the Great. And that's a mystery. There are a lot of people that like to relate that Mystery Babylon to Rome or to some of these other kingdoms, but they obviously have an element of all of them. Okay, there are many Egyptian things in Mystery Babylon, and this Alexander the Great, Alex ends in X. There's a lot of stuff associated with all these kings, and indeed should be in all these kingdoms. Why? Because it's the same dragon. These are just seven different heads on the same body. Indeed, they should be very similar. Okay? So that's what you see. And one of the things that's definitely similar is they all were after Israel. And they all were after in making an attempt to kill off their males. Pharaoh drowned them in the Red Sea. And Herod caused all the babies up to 2 years old, all the male children in Bethlehem to be killed, hoping to kill Jesus Christ, you see. It's a very common thing. Here, the dragon is trying to kill off the man-child that's going to be born to this woman and to kill off the nation. Look in this. By the way, all of these men, the main men that ruled over these kingdoms, all of them typify the Antichrist. They all have characteristics of the Antichrist. All of their rulers are types of the Antichrist. Now look, you're in Revelation chapter 12, look at verse 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. What is the next three words? That old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So now he loses his place up in outer space and he's cast down onto the earth. So not only is he a dragon, but he's also a serpent, which you saw in Isaiah chapter 27, and here you see in Revelation chapter 12. And he says he is that old serpent. Well, that's going to recall us all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Let's go back over to Genesis chapter 3 for just a minute. And notice, from the very, very beginning, the old serpent was there to destroy God's dominion in the earth and to destroy God's creation in the earth. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent. Let me explain something to you just briefly. The serpent obviously was not a snake at this time, as we know him today. And you're going to see why, but just keep in mind that whatever this is, we're going to find out by the time we finish studying this lesson, this was a beautiful creature, a very beautiful creature. Otherwise, Eve didn't have anything to do with any rattlesnake or boa constrictor or python. You know that. I mean, all women, unless they're... I better be careful here. Any of y'all women have pet snakes? Okay. Huh? Yeah, if you do, I want to know about it. I mean, one of these women, Jean Dixon or one of these foretellers or something like that, used to sleep with a snake or something. I don't know all that stuff. Don't quote me on that. It's one of them did. And anyway, the thing is, you got to have something wrong with you if you like snakes. Okay? I don't like snakes. When I see snakes and I've got a gun, the snake dies. Then I find out what it is. Okay, I can tell an indigo, and I will let that one go. Otherwise than that, bam, it's dead. And then, rat snake, too bad. So sad. Just not doing snakes, okay? So this is not, curled up in the tree. She's like, oh, cool. Hey, buddy, how you doing? Not that at all. This is a very beautiful creature. It was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He's questioning God and what God said. From this day here in Genesis chapter 3 forward, you're going to know that one of the greatest weapons of the devil is to question God's word and to erode your faith in what God said. This proliferation of modern Bible translations has not strengthened the faith of Christians. Okay? It's what it's done is cast more doubt than it has solved problems. So you come on down through here and you know about what happens. There's a temptation here. Eventually they eat the fruit. And when they do, Adam had been given dominion over all these things in the earth. And when they did this, dominion changed. And the devil, as we see in the temptation that he had against Jesus Christ in the wilderness, is now the one that rules over these kingdoms of the earth. And so this temptation takes place here. Now, verse 13, the Lord is questioning Adam. He blames Eve, questions Eve. She blames the devil. Verse 13, the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent, what's the next word? Beguiled me, and I did eat. Well, then the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and of every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go. Now he's crawling. And dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed, the seed of the devil, and her seed, Jesus Christ. It shall bruise thy head, and that's what Jesus does, and the church is going to do in Romans chapter 16, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And that's what happened when Jesus Christ was crucified. This old serpent in Isaiah 27 is called the piercing serpent. What happened to Jesus Christ when he died? They pierced him. Proverbs says he pierced my hands and my feet. Psalms 22 says he pierced my hands and my feet. And then Zechariah chapter 12 verse 10 says they pierced him. And we know in John 19 they pierced his side and fulfilled that prophecy. The piercing serpent. So that goes also, takes us all the way back here. Now, how did the serpent trick Eve? He beguiled her. Do you think that stopped in Genesis chapter 3? No, it didn't. Turn with me into the New Testament to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, if you're not familiar with 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the New Testament starts out with four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the Acts of the Apostles, and then Romans. And after Romans, you have two big epistles, 1 and 2 Corinthians. If you get into something like Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, you've gone too far. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. All right, and now Paul is describing his ministry. He says in verse 2, 2 Corinthians 11, 2, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you, he's talking about the church, to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, we read all that just a minute ago, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He's still at it. Somebody said, why are there so many religions and why are there so many denominations in the world? That's why. Because he has corrupted people's minds from the simplicity that's in Christ. How do you get saved? You put your faith in Jesus Christ. You are born again by the Spirit of God. It could not possibly be easier, but men have complicated it. That's the work of that old serpent. He hasn't stopped. He's still going on with his old tricks. Leviathan is a dragon. He's a great red dragon, seven-headed monster. He's also a serpent. And go back to Revelation chapter 12. He's still after Israel. Revelation chapter 12. Look at verse 4. Revelation 12, 4. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Herod tried to kill Jesus. She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations, that's the Lord, with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. That's where Jesus is right now. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 42 months if every month has 30 days in it. In the Jewish calendar, that's the way it's set up. 42 months, it's the bad part or the last half of the tribulation. she's out there. Notice verse 13, when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child, and to the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness into her place where she is nourished for a time. That's 1 year. In times, that's 2 years. And a half time, that's 3.5 years total from the face of the serpent. So you see, he's still after Israel. Nothing's changed. So people say to me, do you think there's going to be peace in the Middle East? Impossible as long as that guy's still around. And as long as that seven-headed monster still has control over, to some degree, who reigns in the earth. That's not going to be possible. It's impossible. Will there be peace in Israel? Absolutely, when the Prince of Peace shows up. Now, I'm waiting on Jesus Christ. He'll solve the problems. Now, during the tribulation, the devil, that is this dragon, is going to give the Antichrist some things. Look at Revelation 13, since you're there. All right, in Revelation 13, look at verse 1. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. That's the Antichrist. Having seven heads and 10 horns. Isn't that interesting? That's this beast. What the people see is a man, but what's inside of him is a seven-headed, 10-horned creature with 10 crowns. And now the crowns are upon the horns. See, upon his horns, 10 crowns. So it's the same creature, but now we're talking about the earthly rulers, not the monster up there. But do you see how he's gone incarnate? The beast stands up, and the beast, the Antichrist, has these 7 heads and 10 horns. So what's happened is the devil has now gone incarnate. He is inside of a man. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. That's what he is, and that's what John sees. But what people see is a nice guy. You remember, the serpent was beautiful. But what he really became was this thing we all don't like. I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. We're not going to go into a lot of detail on this. That's another study that takes you back into Zechariah and some other things. But what happens is this guy, there's an attempted assassination, and he's pronounced dead, wounded to death, and he comes back to life. And everybody says, that's got to be the man. Because he's risen from the dead. His deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Okay, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? So notice the dragon in verse 2, right at the end, gives him his power. That's a lot of power, by the way. His seat and his great authority. So he becomes the world ruler. He becomes the world ruler. And when he does, people worship the beast, they worship the man, and they also worship the dragon. If you listen, I don't, but I'm told that if you were to listen to rock music and things, there's a lot of satanic stuff in there. That leads to the worship of the devil, and that thing is really on the rise. And he is going to continue to have this power, and the people are going to worship him right up to the end of the tribulation. Look at verse 5. There was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. People have asked from time to time, do you think so-and-so is the Antichrist? And I said, for various reasons, no, I don't think so. But what he is doing with his oratory is he is showing you how a group of people can be persuaded by what he says to do bad things. Hitler did that. Hitler did that in Nazi Germany when he corralled all those people who were dissatisfied with their economic condition, used his mouth to cause his soldiers to kill 6 million Jews and untold millions of other people in Europe. So, and he won them over with his mouth. So there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, the length of the the bad part of the tribulation. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. You know, our children are being trained to do this by watching movies, because God's name is taken in vain in everything now. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. So he's after Christians as well. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, the tribulation saints, to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. He's a world ruler. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. This is a bad dude. That's why he's called a beast. And he has the combination of the leopard and the lion and the and the bear, which are all of the characteristics of the beasts that were before him. So he's tough, boy. He's tough. All right? Now, he's going to rule, and he's going to be there until the Lamb destroys him at his second coming. Okay? You got all that? And all of this is, that dragon and that serpent. That's Leviathan. And at this point, working inside of a man. All right. This, at the end of the tribulation, Satan, the dragon, the old serpent, is going to be bound up in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. He's going to be bound up in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 20. I saw an angel come down from heaven, verse 1. Having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. Okay, any question about who this is? He just doesn't leave any question about it. And bound him 1,000 years. Now, I think last week or the week before we looked at what happens at the end of the 1,000 years, he comes out. He makes one last effort to try to kill Israel, and fire comes out of heaven and destroys him immediately. Okay, so the devil himself is chained in a thousand years in the bottomless pit. But look in Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. The physical presence is going to be destroyed. We're going to look at two places. First one, Ezekiel 28. You know, it helps you when you're studying the Bible to remember some important chapters. In other words, finding the address of a verse of Scripture can be difficult to do sometimes. Okay, but if you can remember some numbers, then that'll really help you get to some important Scriptures. Like Psalm 22 is a prophecy all about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53, the chapter of the suffering servant. Ezekiel 37, which we looked at recently, the resurrection of Israel from their graves. You want to get those chapters down, all right? Two chapters concerning the devil, this dragon, that you don't want to forget are Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. And they're easy to remember because 28 is twice 14. So Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14. Ezekiel 28, there is a prophecy being given to the prince of Tyrus, to the king of Tyrus, but he's speaking to the devil and the man. Look at this. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. That serpent was beautiful. Watch it. Verse 13, Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Well, there were only four people in that garden. Adam, Eve, God, and the serpent. And he says, you seal up the sum full of wisdom. So for us to get a better education and become more earthly wise is not going to improve us in our relationship to God. As a matter of fact, it may cause us to stray from God. That's why Romans 1 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's why the Bible says God chose the base things of this world, the foolish things of this world, see, the weak things of this world, because this wisdom got him in trouble. Perfect in beauty, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, how does he end up? verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. We call it drug trafficking today. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. You say, well, how could he bring forth a fire from the midst of thee? Because you're going to see here in just a second, that dragon is a fire-breathing dragon. It's a spontaneous combustion. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they shall know thee among the people, shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. And what's the big problem today? Terrorism. See, the Bible is way ahead. People say, we need to change this and simplify it. You don't want to change a word in this book. Because this book is speaking words people haven't even used yet, and speaking words that are more common than the ones that profess to be common. Terror is the deal today. And now you know where it comes from. People say, well, it's an Islamic thing, or it's a jihad thing, or it's a Hezbollah thing. No, it's a devil thing. And then he works in men. Look in Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. You want to know what you are looking at in the context? Look at verse 12. Isaiah is before Ezekiel. Before Jeremiah and Lamentations. Isaiah 14, look at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? You know who we're talking about now? That's the devil. He was called Lucifer. Lucifer means light bearer. Lux Fero, the light bearer. But when he took the brightness to himself, he corrupted himself. And when he did, then he became the devil, and he became Satan, and he became a mutated beast, a seven-headed dragon. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? So people say, you get together in the United Nations, that's going to make us stronger. No, you get together in the United Nations, make you weaker. I know it doesn't seem that way, but it's what happens. The power gets turned over to the wrong man eventually, and the devil takes control. Now, the devil makes great comments about what he's going to do in 13 and 14. He said, I'm going to ascend, I'm going to exalt myself, I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to be in the end of verse 14. I'm going to be like the Most High. You know what he says? Verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the, what's that next word? Pit. That's where he goes. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this, what are the next two words? The man? You see that ugly beast that you saw that comes up out of the sea, John sees him for what he really is. People see him as a man. Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness? Those guys that get into power aren't trying to improve things around here. They tell you they are. But they make the world a wilderness, destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory. Every one is in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as a raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Now, when he says, thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people, evidently the Antichrist has some Jewish connection. That's how he is allowed by Israel to do what he does. Do you think you can find 2 Thessalonians? It's in the New Testament. You got the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you've got Acts and Romans. We've been there. Then you got Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Then you got 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and that's where we're going. If you get to Hebrews, you've gone too far. 2nd Thessalonians. Okay, it's in the New Testament. It's real close to the back. So if you're coming from, when you get to Hebrews, slow way down, because then right before Hebrews is a couple of really small books, and then you have Timothy, and then you have 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. 2nd Thessalonians, chapter 2. All right, now we're talking in the context of the coming of Jesus Christ. Verse 1, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the context. Right here where the devil gets destroyed at the second coming. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin, that's the Antichrist, that's that beast that rose up in Revelation 13. Be revealed, the son of perdition, watch it, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. That's what Lucifer was doing back in Isaiah 14. Or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. Remember, the beast is given the seat of the dragon. Sitteth, where does he sit? Where does he sit? In the temple of God. How do you get in there unless you have some connection to Israel? Showing himself that he is God. But what is he? Look at verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. That man gets thrown out of his grave and he is trodden under feet of people after Jesus Christ destroys him. And evidently, he himself is either burned to ashes or the dragon appearance of the devil is burned to ashes when he comes to the end here. And I think it's that dragon that's burned to ashes, laid out like that, the body of that man is trodden under feet. What did Revelation 16 say about us? Satan shall be trodden under your feet shortly. It's pretty good. That'd be a good day. He sure caused a lot of trouble up to now, hadn't he? Now, you know what I did? I left Isaiah 14 too quick because I want to show you one other thing to put it all together. So go back to Isaiah 14. Trying this morning not to keep you bouncing around too much. But I did it. Isaiah 14. Okay, so you see all this in the context. Now look at verse 29 and notice one other characteristic of this dragon serpent. Isaiah 14:29. Rejoice not thou whole Palestina, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken. For out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice. A cockatrice is a snake. And his fruit shall be what? A fiery, what's the next word? Flying serpent. So this seven-headed dragon has wings. He's got wings. He's a fiery flying serpent. Which it gives us an interesting note. Not going to turn to all these passages. Just talk to you about it. Some of you know this already. Remember when the Jews were back in the wilderness and they were complaining against God? And one day God sent fiery serpents in among them. And they bit them and they ran to Moses. And God told Moses, make a serpent on a pole, a brass serpent on a pole. Set that up, and when the people look, they'll live. We sing a song, Look and Live. It comes from that. When they look, they'll live. It was the antidote. Okay? So, have you ever seen the Hippocratic Oath in your doctor's office? There's a serpent on a pole in there. But what else is on that serpent? Wings. You ever notice that? There's wings on there. Have you ever seen the corpsman? Wings. You know why? Isaiah 14, 29. That serpent is flying. Isn't that something? Fiery flying serpent. This is a little side note. Now, let's go one last place. Let's go backwards. You're in Isaiah, so go through all the books like Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, Psalms. Go to Job. It's right in front of Psalms. Job 41. And we'll wrap it up here. Job 41. Job 41. Here's what he says. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? There he is. And the entire chapter is a description of Leviathan. Now, he doesn't go through and describe the wings, and he doesn't go through and describe the seven heads, and he doesn't go through and describe the ten horns. That's why you need the whole Bible. Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Because when you see the whole Bible, then you know what this is. But just look at a few of his characteristics real quickly. Job 41:10. None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? All right, this guy is fiercer than anything. So nobody wants to mess with him. None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Okay. 15, verse 15, he has scales. His scales are his pride and shut up together as with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another that stick together that they cannot be sundered. That's going to make him impenetrable. Okay. Notice in verse 19, he is fire breathing. Verse 19, out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. So you'll oftentimes see the fire breathing dragon in the cartoons. Listen, if I lived in China, do you think I would walk around in a parade with a dragon hanging over my head? The connotations are just incredible. But you see, people have gotten so familiar with all these things and their little cartoons and their little parades and all that kind of thing. They're not going to be scared when the dragon shows up. They're going to say, woohoo, there he is. God. He's fire breathing. He's hard-hearted. Look at verse 24. His heart is firm as a stone, yea, as hard as a piece of nether millstone. Millstone is what you grind with. And notice that earthly weapons have nothing. You can't not get him with an earthly weapon. 25, when he raiseth up himself, verse 25, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breakings, they purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold. The spear, the dart, nor the habergeon. That's a defensive weapon. He esteemeth iron as straw and brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. So they have absolutely no effect on him. You know what? That's why you were given the armor that you were given in Ephesians chapter 6. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He says in one place, the weapons that we are given on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, loins girt about with the truth, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Those are the only weapons that can handle this thing. They're all spiritual. Okay? Verse 33, upon earth there is not his like who is made without fear. He is unequaled and he is fearless. And notice he is a king. Verse 34, he beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. Well, according to Isaiah 27:1, where we started, Jesus comes back. This dragon is slain and punished. And I thank God for that because I know somebody that can whoop him. The devil ever give you a hard time? When he does, you know what you do? Just bow your knee before Jesus Christ. Don't get into conversation with the devil. You just tell him, look, you beat him once, you beat him again. And you're coming back to beat him forever. So would you handle this guy? And he'll take care of it. Father, we're thankful today to be able to see this very, very thorough description of our adversary. And I ask you, please, to help us to be very faithful in our trust of you. We are dealing with a fearless, impenetrable, high, proud being. We humble ourselves before you and thank you for your protection. Now, Lord, bless this time of fellowship between the services, for we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.